Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
39 after 1, my family. Can somebody please just take a seat? And somebody please just get your popcorn. Somebody please just put your hands together for this conversation that's coming up. It is exciting times, nostalgic. It is beautiful. Looking forward to it. Monica Newton, CEO of the National Arts Festival, joining us right now on the line. Yeah. Monica, good afternoon to you, and thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Hello, and greetings to you from a very chilly, very wet, rather horrible Makanda. Thank goodness
really?
Festival finished last week.
Where's the rain coming from? I know the chill and the rain.
You know, apparently there's a cutoff low that's bringing mayhem and chaos, both to the Western Cape and
right.
to ourselves. Yeah, high winds, very chilly weather, of course, snow on the outlying areas. So we're quite pleased that festival finished on the 30th of June.
Right. No, just on time, just on time. Wow. Monica, let's talk about the National Arts Festival. I mean, 50 years. First of all, congratulations. How does that feel?
Thank you. It's a privilege and an honor actually,
yeah.
to have been part of such a momentous celebration of both 50 years of the festival, but also a 50-year almost history of the arts in South Africa. Because
sure.
the festival is a mirror of society, it's a mirror of the arts, it is a touch point for artists all along their careers.
Mm.
So it takes a nation to raise the National Arts Festival, and at 50 we were able to sort of stop and take a bit of stock about where we've come, what 30 years of democracy means, and
sure.
then I guess, you know, where to from here? What 50-year-old doesn't go, okay, how do we approach the next 10, 20, 30 years?
Right.
So that's what the team is currently thinking about.
That is absolutely phenomenal. Now, Grahamstown is perfectly positioned, you know, to be the home of the National Arts Festival. For somebody who may not even know the National Arts Festival or Grahamstown, let's give let's paint a picture. Let's paint a picture about Makanda. Let's paint a picture about the type of festival that the National Arts Festival is.
Well, Makanda is an extraordinary city.
Oh.
First of all, it's quite old, over 200 years.
Yep.
And a city that, like the rest of the country, is going through major changes. In fact, it's almost a microcosm for what South Africa is experiencing. In some respects, incredibly well-established older institutions, unbelievably good university and public and private schools, but also a town that in the last little while has very much become a bit of a poster child for small town decay, and certainly a complicated space because of drought issues, because of changing environments, changing economies, and of course, the festival has grown into and up with the city.
Right.
As the city has grown and changed, so the festival has grown and changed. And we are of this place as much as we are part of this place.
You know, I really love how you paint the picture, Monica, of the different realities of Makanda, where you have the High Court in Makanda, and yet you have a municipality that's struggling with infrastructure and drought issues, and then you have the Arts Festival, and then you have Rhodes University, and then you have one street to carry all of that. Isn't that just beautiful? Isn't that just beautiful? Now, let's talk about the actual origin of the Arts Festival. 50 years ago, where did this come from? Where did the idea originate from?
Well, actually, in a very interesting kind of way. There'd been a couple of smaller festivals around kind of secular history and that kind of thing. But ideas around the National Arts Festival really started to coalesce maybe sort of almost 10 years before the notion that there would be a monument, and that monument would stand as a living legacy of the settler community.
Right.
And the monument building opened with the first National Arts Festival that year.
Mm-hmm.
And slowly but surely, as the festival grew and changed, and the orientation of the monument to community and different kinds of languages and education and culture changed, so the festival has grown and changed as well. So it's never been the same every year. But what you've seen over decades is it moving from an almost sort of Eurocentric festival to a far more widely embracing festival of language and culture and style, kind of being part of a movement in the 80s and 90s around protest theater and the ending of the cultural boycott,
wow,
and becoming a place where, for example, Barbara Masekela in 1990, one of her first public engagements after she came back from exile was here at the festival. And that really began to set the tone for what the festival would be, which is a platform for voices and stories and protest and inspiration and aspiration and stories of pain and trauma and oppression, because not everything that we do is pretty.
Not everything that we do is
necessarily entertainment. But what it is life-affirming. What it is it brings people together and it creates an incredible sense of community and shared experience. And in a country like ours, which still is struggling with divisions of opportunity, of language, of class, of geography, of so many different things, for the festival to still be a place where men and women, people of all ages, people of all gender identities, people from different countries and different language groupings can come together and share something, that's incredibly special.
Monica, that's absolutely phenomenal. I mean, just listening to it, I can almost picture, you know, the diversity and the incredible uniqueness, you know, of all the offerings that happened at the festival this year. Talk to us about some of the acts and some of the features and some of the plays and products that happened this year.
We had some really, really incredible work.
Yeah.
And some of them were big and some of them were small.
Sure.
And some of them were about sort of thematic issues that were really important to the festival. Some of them, for example, there's still an exhibition with us called Mattering, which looked back over the archival history of the festival and just touched in with kind of some of the incredible programs and the artists and the people and the imagery and the places that have shaped this festival into what it is.
Mm.
We had intergenerational work. So Bandisi Dianti was one of our good ones at Raised the roof of the Guy Butler Theatre. And if somebody with history with festival, he was part of the Carla Jazz, he'd been part of the jazz festival lineup, which of course we've had jazz as a focus on our festival program since 1988. But fundamentally, this was his first time on his own as a soloist. And it was wonderful for him to come home to the Eastern Cape, to be here and to be feted in this way as a festival headliner.
Sure.
And he gave back in spades. He did an extra hour on his to just give back to the audience. You know, you're not cool until you're Mandisi Dianti.
That is for sure.
But equally, Sipho Hotsticks in his 70s, back for the first time at festival after 30 years
away.
Incredible. Selo Make Kanube performing the suit, also 30 years from the previous time that he had performed the work on our stages. And of course, the suit is a complicated work on the centenary of Kantemba. Kantemba turned, it would have been 100 years of his birth on the 21st of June. So we were incredibly grateful to host a program by Dr. Spiro Mahalo, who's the biographer of Kantemba. We had Morongo Temba, his daughter, here with us as well. There was a performance of the suit. So again, these incredible moments in time, which are so much about kind of where we've come from, our incredible history of artistry and innovation and creativity. And then some really, really amazing work like The Red Over the Rainbow, Vice's new work that really speaks to a really difficult part of our past. Do you remember the story of the children that were killed in the sunflower fields in the Free State? And Red Over the Rainbow tells that story of a community's trauma and horror and outrage and still a scar that remains painful and there. And of course, this is recent history. This is not pre-apartheid stuff.
Sure,
or apartheid era. This is our world and our lives right now. So again, you know, the incredible power of the arts to, in a very engaging and constructive way, open up a window to an experience to people who were there or maybe who didn't know the story but now know a lot more. And then just some really charming works. Sophie Jones was back with an incredible work, Dog Roads, which did so well last year. Multiple generations. And of course, her lovely new work, I.O., which speaks to, I guess, the power of AI in our world. And she plays with the notion of how AI and social media and phones are working in our lives. And yeah, so artists looking back, looking forward, looking at technology, playing with ideas, and our audience really, really responded. We had great audiences, we had sellout shows, and at the end of the day, that's what the festival wants. It wants to present the best possible way for people to interact with the arts and for artists to interact with the world. And if we've done that, then we've lived up to our mandate and we can be proud.
Monica, it's been absolutely phenomenal having this conversation with you. Two questions, ma'am. The first, you know, art has always really, as you said earlier on, provided a platform, you know, for a, you know, in support of a social construct, giving, you know, an amplifier to voices that may not necessarily have any other platform. If you had to summarize some of the most significant voices that came through, what would that sound like? What are those voices and what are those concepts or even, you know, ideas that came out? What do we need to look out for and to support in between this festival and next year?
Well, what an insightful question. So yeah. I think young voices that are talking about a youth experience that I think some of us are not getting.
Sure.
And a group of folks who feel as though they are not being heard or their issues are not being taken seriously. A sense of hopefulness, because the arts ultimately is a very aspirational, inspirational, hopeful thing.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
Love it.
Even just coming to festival is an indication of your belief in a future, right?
Sure.
Otherwise, you'd stay at home and sit on your couch and stream or whatever. It spoke to a very powerful statement about the value of life and about the importance of being part of something bigger than yourself. And whether that was in a little way, kind of going through a theater piece, or we had Aluta Continua, the incredible traveling art collection of the Constitution, talked with us. And Justice L.B. Sachs himself was with us here in Makanda at 89, did walkthroughs with huge groups of people. And the exhibition, first of all, is an extraordinary asset to our country, and I would encourage anybody to go and see it. But again, speaks to such powerful moments of what we've come through, but also the challenges that we face. Gender-based violence, a sense of inequality, the fact that we still have work to do. So a big theme of our festival this year, and you could see it in a very front-facing way in our branding, was the notion of shaping together. Is that we are in this
beautiful world.
And we need to work together to make it happen. And we're seeing it happen all around us. And we really leaned into one of the Indubiti scenarios, which speaks to weaver work, which speaks to these tiny little birds that build these enormous nests that house hundreds of other birds, but also other organisms. And together, they shape things. They create shape. They build homes and futures and places and safety. And that's really where we see the festival as playing a really important role, is continuing to foster, continuing to embrace, but continuing to create that interface of where through shared effort we can change things.
Sure, sure. Now let's talk about smaller nyana. I don't want to call them kitchen politics, but let's talk about, you know, the small operational politics that sometimes come through in the arts space. How are we doing with the acceptance of AI? Are we not protesting? Are we accepting it? AI technology as acceptable methods, you know, of developing art? How's that going?
Look, it's a complicated thing.
What we really are seeing
is the art, as always, is the canary in the coal mine.
Yeah.
That we get to meet these technologies for the first time before anybody else, and in some respects, it is interesting. Artists are choosing to use AI as a tool, as a way for them to expand their horizons. And we had a really interesting session with young journalists last year, and they equally were using AI as a tool. They were not frightened that this was going to take over their lives and their world. But let's be frank, the notion of deep fakes is creepy.
Right.
And again, the notion that somehow AI can be used to replicate artistry is equally something that we are very concerned about, because at the end of the day, an artist's right is the right to create work and to have
originally
that work protected, and to be able to create a livelihood from that. And the threat that AI presents to that is, in some respects, worrying. So there is a new policy horizon for us there. Of course, the university is also struggling enormously to deal with the question of, is AI a helpful tool to students, or is AI a cheat, a way of getting out of doing the heavy lifting in your work? And I think what you're starting to see is the art starting to experiment in a range of different ways. But there's no question that there's a lot of thinking work for policymakers. There's a lot of thinking work for festivals like the National Arts Festival to go, okay, so where do we stand on the issue of AI? I think that the extent to which it can replace human creativity and not just mimic it, but maybe that's an uninformed view and I need to go and do some homework.
No, but look, it's an ongoing conversation. I don't think we are at a place where we can conclusively say whether or not, you know, we are incorporating and adopting and accepting AI. I do think that, we're not necessarily a young arts culture and arts space, but we do need to give ourselves time, Monica, to see what happens. As you said, the most important thing right now for artists is the ability to make a livelihood. You know what I mean? And it's a very sensitive space. You know, I don't think we should rush into the conclusion there. And finally, I'm pretty sure that the mayor of Makanda is not listening. Let me ask you this question. I do think that everybody needs to go to Grahamstown to visit the National Arts Festival. But is Grahamstown big enough to carry?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
And the wonderful thing about Makanda is how central it is. So whether you stay in Kenton and take a 45-minute trip past the amazing Game
Reserve,
stay in the Port Alfred and Bathurst, the world is big enough for everybody, and Makanda, there's no doubt, is the best possible venue for a festival. A complex festival, a changing festival, but we are here to stay, and the city of Makanda will continue to be our partner and our host and our friend. And we have about 1,600 people working with us a month to help us keep the city clean,
create
employment in the longer term, hopefully create some new avenues for income generation. But so we're doubling down on Makanda as a corporate citizen, place where we do an important thing, reaching out to stakeholders and saying, hey, you know, how do we work together to bring a new future to the city of Makanda? Well, the National Arts Festival is in.
Sure. Spoken like a true Grahamstownian, as we would say in our time. And finally, Monica, 2025? What is NAF 2025 looking like? Can't wait.
Well, it will be 51
in
the normal course of things. But of course, the festival never really sleeps. So our open calls will be going out soon. And of course, we're a festival shaped by context and environment.
Sure.
And there will be only good things to come in 2025. So watch this space. We have an incredible competition out in partnership with Heineken.
Fantastic.
Which invites new playwrights in any language to submit work that the winner will present at the 2025 National Arts Festival. So there's a lot coming up throughout the year, lots of exciting things. As a festival company, we do other events. We have Nelson Mandela Bay Arts Festival coming up. So we've got lots of things on the board, but National Arts Festival will be, as always, amazing in 2025. And we invite everybody to keep an eye on our socials and our website for our date announcements and, of course, program and other exciting news.
Absolutely wonderful stuff. And how do we become part of that community, Monica? What are those addresses? How do we connect? Any handles on social media? How do we connect?
Well, National Arts Festival at nationalartsfestival.co.za is our website. And, of course, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. We are pretty much on all the social media platforms. So just kind of do a search for National Arts Festival. We'll pop up. You'll still see our fabulous 50 logo for a little while. And it's the best way. We also have a wonderful newsletter that we send out regularly. So folks can pop onto our website and hit the subscribe button and get our website. And there's some lovely, lovely work of photographers and others, which we'll continue to share on social media so that, you know, if you couldn't make it this year, you have serious FOMO and it will join us next year.
You have no idea the level of FOMO that I am experiencing right now. Monica Newton, CEO of the National Arts Festival. My family, what a conversation. Thank you so much and all the best to you and the team. Shout out to Sasha who made this conversation happen. And we'll certainly look forward to everything that is coming out of the festival this year and certainly into next year.
Great. And let's see you in Makanda next year.
Yeah, Sasha keeps saying so, and I'm starting to feel like it's going to become a serious reality, Monica. We'll certainly keep in touch, yeah? Yeah, 2025 is the year, let me tell you. Thank you so much for spending your afternoon with us. Monica Newton, my family, what a conversation. That is a scoop from the National Arts Festival that happened until the 30th of June this year. And do keep in touch with them, check them out. If you've got a child who's into the arts, that is the space to be in. Man, Grahamstown is the space to be in. 1 minute after two, that is your time. Let's have a look at your good news bulletin. And on the other side of this, we are coming straight back to you, Natasha, darling. Natasha's got her own playlist that she would like to share with us this afternoon. By the way, Tulani, we would like to hear from you. Did you enjoy that? Your playlist coming through the airwaves? Please do let us know. Let's take a look, my family, at your good news bulletin at 2 after 2.
Become active. Active in faith. 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Do you read the Word for Today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy. Visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice, and update your details. Or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rates apply.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.